The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
Last week we kicked off a new series called Sweet Dreams, What's Been Keeping You Up at Night. And you can find it on our podcast station. We're going to give you a resource at the end of service. But it laid the foundation because we felt like we needed to preach what was on your heart in this season. As you go through the Christmas season, it can be the most depressing season in many people's lives. It could seem like I had dreams in January, but it's December and nothing has happened. So I'm going to roll into 2017, and it'll be the same thing I'm hoping for, dreaming for, praying for. I'm repeating 2015 and 2016, 2014 is in my 17. And what we decided to do is that we just deal with what you're praying for over the next few weeks. And so the Lord had me focused in on your health this week because it's what you're praying for. And so many of you wrote down about business. Many of you wrote down about personal finance. You know what we're going to do in the church? We're going to preach what's on your heart because you will have the best Christmas season you've ever had. And you're going to go into 2017 with some things checked off of that God list that you've given him over the last year, few years, months, however long it's been taking you to see God fulfill it. Amen? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take an amazing ride. I want your faith to be high because you might say, hey, Damon, I'm not sick. I'm great. What we're going to find out today is that we want to be on the offensive. We don't ever want to play defense in the kingdom of God. We want to play offense. And so last week we started with the story of David, and I'm going to continue in the same chapter. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, if you've ever been in a service before, I like to tell stories, which means I read a lot of scripture. I'm not reading a lot of scripture to just overload you, but I'm trying to set a scene. Okay. The other reason why is I want you to take notes and I want you to go home and read the story yourself. I love Bible stories. These are men and women of God that went through the craziness for their dreams to come true. And I just love preaching about it. And I can honestly tell you a lot of times I'll preach on David every week if I could. But I feel like y'all probably go, can you give us somebody different? So 1 Samuel. Chapter 17, verse 31 says, now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported to him. I didn't know I had, like, background music during the message. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported to him. They reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistines. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. So you're young. The dude that you're about to face, the obstacle in your life, the dream, has been growing larger and larger since the time it was small. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion and a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when the lion rose against me, I caught it by its beard, struck it, and killed it. David's a bad dude. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. It's not just defying an army. He's defying something, somebody, some people that belong to God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. So David said to Saul, go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor. Saul clothed David with his armor, meaning it was Saul's armor, and put a bronze helmet on his head. He clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened Saul's sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. He put them in his shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had. and his sling in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about David and saw him, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy, but he was good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you should come to me with those sticks in your hand?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and a javelin, not to mention that armor-bearer guy that was in front of you. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give your carcass of the camp of the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that God, that the Lord doesn't save with the sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. So the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face towards the earth. So David prevailed with the Philistine, over the Philistine with a sling, a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Therefore David ran and grabbed the sword that belonged to the Philistine from his sheath, killed him, and cut off his head. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that as we tackle sickness, there's no giant big enough to stop you. Let your presence be in this place. I pray, Lord God, that everything that you put on the inside of me comes out of me with precision, clarity, and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if I could catch you up from last week, I read a lot on purpose. I read the story of David. Last week we talked about David facing a 9-foot giant Goliath. That is what 1 Samuel 17 is. The Bible says that there was a 9-foot giant named Goliath that showed up, and he was from the people called the Philistines. The word Philistine meant immigrant. So here was this giant that was invading a space that wasn't his own. He had no permission to be there, but he felt like he wanted to control that spot. And it says that the people of Israel were on one side and Philistine people were on the other side. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he came out hurling insults, saying, "Bring me one person that would be willing to fight me." And for 40 days and 40 nights, no one did. And we laid a foundation and we said that the giant is waiting for you. Your dream is waiting for you to show up and fight. Because he says, "Is there a man that's willing to fight me? And if by some chance you beat me, I'll serve you. But if I beat you, you'll serve me." And we challenged everybody. We said that there's a fact that you, inside of you, there is power to bring your giant subject to the God inside of you. Because your giant shows up and he's making all of this noise, but deep down inside, there is the possibility that if you show up, your thing, your dream has to serve you and your God. So the 9-foot giant, we declared, is just something standing in front of you who's calling out day after day, trying to keep you paralyzed, trying to keep you where you are, but deep down, it knows that it's subject to you and your God. And we continued in our story, and the Bible says that when David showed up, nobody was moving around. And the king had said, "Now, if anyone kills Goliath, I will give him wealth." Everybody say money. "I will give him my fine daughter relationship, and I will remove all the taxes from his house." And David says, "Now, repeat that to me again." He says, "Now, what I hear you saying is that there's a prize for the problem." And we said that if your giant rolls up on you, the giant has the opportunity to be subject to you and your God. But in order for that to happen, you must view what's in front of you, your dream, your obstacle, your problem, as a promise and not a problem. If you view it as a problem, it will haunt you. But if you view it as a promise, you'll see the promise and the reward behind the obstacle. So we said that the fact is that it's either a problem or it's a promise. It's all in how you look at it. So your giant, your dream, your obstacle is subject to you and your God. But the thing in front of you is either a problem or it's a promise. It's all in how you look at it. We said that David didn't even begin to worry. It was one day that he went up and immediately he said, I'll fight the giant. And so we challenged each other and we said that the fact is that worrying accomplishes nothing. And since worrying accomplishes nothing, we should be on the offensive and we should attack the thing that's in front of us. Because the Bible says, and I read it to you, that David runs to Saul and he says, hey, don't worry, don't fret, I'll face him if nobody else wants to. There's no need for you to lose sleep anymore over the thing that's been your obstacle. There's no problem that God can't handle. I'll handle it. Don't worry. And we gave a quote. We said that worrying is crossing a bridge before you ever get there. There's no need to worry about something that you haven't faced yet. There's no need to worry of how it would play out at the end before the end is there. And knowing that, there is an opportunity for me to make the thing that's in front of me subject to me and my God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. So the thing that you and I would face, the dream that you and I would go after, is subject to the God that you allow to be himself. And so when we read the text this morning, we find David already in a mode of offense and not defense. The first thing I want to let you know as we tackle sickness today is that if you and I are going to win in our dream, in our desire, we have to have a mentality of offense. We cannot play defense because defense means they're attacking me. And now I have to respond to the attack. But anyone who is an offensive-minded person says, regardless of the defense in front of me, the object for us is to score and win the game. People will tell you, I played sports all of my life. The best offense is a good defense, they'll tell you. Yes, you must have defense, but you have to have an offensive mind. You have to think that it's my opportunity to attack the thing in front of me, not just wait. And so David looks at the obstacle in front of him, and he decides that there is no way that I'm going to allow the thing that's in front of me to dictate this next season of my life. I've watched the result of people waiting and playing defense. They're sitting on the sideline. No one wants to move towards the giant. They've been here 40 days and 40 nights, and that behavior tells me that nothing's going to change right now. If I don't act on the offense, I sit. I wait. And so this morning, we want to attack the giant of sickness. Here's what's been keeping some people up at night. We said it during prayer time. Someone's believing for their husband's healing, breathing problems. They want to stay healthy to be able to see their children grow old. Some people are in need of a kidney transplant. Others are believing God for more children. And so in that story that I read to you a little bit earlier, the Bible says that David tries on Saul's armor. And the Bible says that he's going out and he's ready to attack. And then he tells himself, this is not what I've been used to. And it says that he takes off the armor of something that was somebody else's. And he says, I need to use what I'm used to. Can I tell you that if you're attacking your giant, I appreciate my friends. I appreciate their prayers. I appreciate their dreams. I appreciate them standing beside me. But at the end of the day, I have to play offense. There has to be something built up in my past that represents God's faithfulness that would allow me to take it to my battle in my now. Y'all all right? There has to be something that I've identified from my past success, from something God's done for me in my past, that I would be able to lean on in my future. Because your blessing, your testimony, it's good, but I haven't tested that yet. There is something in my past that allows me to build upon me going and face this new giant. David could have walked out in Saul's armor, but he leaned back into something that had brought him victory in his past. He looks at him and he says, now listen, your servant has faced a lion and a bear. So this obstacle that's in front of me, it looks different. It looks different because it's an immigrant. It's not what I'm accustomed to. I didn't ask for that. But if I build on my success of my past, it does leave room that this new thing that's in front of me, God can handle that too. And he says, the lion and the bear came at me, and when it rose, I attacked it. So I'm going to use what I'm comfortable with based on what God has already done. And it says that he grabbed four things. He had a rod. He grabbed five smooth stones. He had a bag with a little pouch. And then he had a sling. And so with us attacking this giant called sickness, what I wanted to do was I wanted to dive into why did he take what he took? Because if I'm going to fight somebody, the last thing I'm going to grab is my shepherd's rod. Why do I need a bag? Five stones for a 9-foot giant and my slingshot. That leads me to believe that these things that David had used and wanted to bring to the ultimate fight that had kept others paralyzed were things that had brought him victory in the past. Now, for those of you who this may be your first church experience, I want to give you some things that you could use and build upon. There was a season in my life where I did not walk closely to the Lord, and I had to wear my mom's armor. But then when I got to college and she wasn't there, I realized that I couldn't put on her helmet and her jacket. And she was praying, but she was praying from a distance. And then all of a sudden, I had to find out who Jesus was for myself. And so this morning, you're here. I want to walk you through David's attack weapons and the things that David took with him. And I want to give them to you. And at the end of the service, I'm going to put something in your hand so that as you're walking through and you're playing offensive before sickness ever comes, or maybe you're dealing with sickness, maybe your request was one of the things that we face. I want to give you tools right now so that you could have an arsenal that when tomorrow shows up, you're like, hold up, no, I don't need that, but let me get my rod, my bag, I got to get these five smooth stones and a sling. So it says that David grabbed a rod. I looked at the word rod and it meant comfort. In Psalms 23, now it makes sense now. In Psalms 23, he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In Psalms chapter 23, so David grabs his rod, his staff, because it was something that been with him when David was out in the field in 1 Samuel 16. When he was out fighting the lion and the bear and the sheep were running away, it brought him a piece to pull them back in. When they thought that they were out all by themselves, he could use the staff and pull it in. But even David says that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When I did not think that I was going to become anything great in my house, you reached down and pulled me into a party where I wasn't invited to, and you stood me up in front of my brothers and said, you will be the next king. When I was struggling with my confidence, you brought me confidence and character when I didn't think that I was good enough. And so he says, I'm taking with me comfort because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so I was thinking about questions that I have asked myself when it comes to healing, because there are questions that I could preach on it, but you would still have unanswered. And I didn't address all of them, but there's just three that I was thinking about. Let's go after these questions so that we can have comfort when it comes to our sickness. Here's a few questions. Does Jesus want me healed? Is healing active today? Some people will teach you that the healings and the miracles of God and the gifts of the Spirit died when the apostles died. No. I'll prove it. What if I don't believe? Because the obstacle in front of me has me over here right now. What if I don't believe that Jesus Christ will heal me? This morning, I want to just give you some comfort. Y'all all right? Y'all can talk back to me. Matthew chapter 8, 22 through 3 says this, and behold, a leper came to Jesus and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand, touched him, and says, I'm willing. Be clean. So if you're wondering if Jesus wants you to be healed, he's willing. Be healed. He wants to heal you. Absolutely. Now, you don't need to argue that anymore. He is for you. He wants you healed. Need more proof? I'll give it to you. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says, "And Jesus said unto them, If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father cried out, and he said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe that there is a possibility, but I got to be honest with you. What's in front of me with my demon-possessed boy throwing himself on the ground?" That's the text that I just read in a short amount, just one verse. He says, "Now listen, I believe it because I've been hearing some things and I've been seeing some things, but now since it's to my own child, I've got just a little bit of unbelief. But if you can, help my unbelief." Jesus says, "Now listen, your son, I got it. I got it. Go on, son. Go play." So even in your unbelief, Jesus says, "I help you." So does he want you healed? Absolutely. But what if I don't believe? Hey, Jesus do that too. There's a verse I can't remember in my mind. I can find it if I pulled it out. But Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Peter, I just want you to know, watch now. Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. But I'm praying that your faith don't fail you." Y'all gonna have to talk back because I feel like it's getting a little amped up on me here this morning. So he says, "Help me, because I feel like I believe, but there's still a little part of me that doesn't." Jesus says, "I got you. I got you." So does Jesus want you healed? Yes. Is Jesus willing? Yes. What if I don't believe? Let Jesus help. Let Jesus help that too. Because he wants you to believe him. Now, the way that he does it is with results. And so at the end of this service, he's going to help your unbelief. Love it. Psalms chapter 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." He also took 5 smooth stones. Well, obviously, Nancy, I've already looked up rod. Got to look up stones, right? I can't just be making up stuff. Here's what it means. It means strength and sacred stones. And then it says this, watch. When you look up the word sacred stones, it says that it was the sacred stone that was applied and set aside after Samuel showed up and helped bring a victory for Israel versus the Philistines. If you go a few chapters earlier, God, through Samuel, told Saul, "Man, what are you doing? You're acting crazy. You should have waited for me." But he still went afterwards, killed people himself, and God brought victory. So David was leaning on the fact that God had already been faithful for the people of Israel in the past. You with me? I can pull on the fact that my mom, when she was a younger woman, pre-Damon, she had asthma. She was at a crusade. I can't remember. I think it was Kenneth Copeland crusade. And she said this. Watch now. She said, "If you real." This is what she told me. She told me this is my mom's personal testimony. She said, "If you're real, you need to do a miracle in me today." And she said that as she was sitting in the seat, someone said, "There is a woman who's wondering if God is real. And I feel like you've been having trouble breathing." He said, "Well, if you don't mind, will you step into the aisle?" My mom said, "No, wait a second. I just prayed the prayer. I can't wait for y'all to meet my mom. She'll be here during the holidays. You ask her this, she'll tell you." And so she said that she stood out in the aisle, and as soon as she stood out in the aisle, she felt the presence of God say, "I'm real." And from that time, she's kept Damon Moore in church. And so when I was in college, I would have to pull from some of the stories from when mom had asthma. When I was 12 years old, my mom and my dad were pregnant with twins. And man, I was dreaming about being an older brother. Well, 5 months into the pregnancy, my mom had stillborn twins. Shattered our life, shattered our family. Didn't know if we were going to make it. Whole trajectory of our family changed. You're wondering if God heals. We were a broken family. Shattered our lives. I'm a big brother only through relationship with my brother and sister in heaven. Shattered my family. But there was something that I'm able to pull from on the strength of God that tells me that in the worst moment, he was able to take that and give me two healthy boys and say, David. My brother's name was David. My firstborn son's name is David. There's two boys. And I can remember being nervous when we first got pregnant. And God just said, no. Faithful. Watch. So he had five smooth stones. And he says that he was able to pull off of the sacred thing. Watch this. Luke chapter 6. Y'all okay? Luke chapter 6, verse 47 says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom is like me, who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for he was founded on the rock. Psalms 118, 21 through 20 says, I will praise you, Lord, for you have answered me. You are and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our sight. So David packs strength, victories, comfort of the past in his pouch, and he's carrying the chief cornerstone, the rock, Jesus Christ, in his pouch as he's going to face the giant. But he just didn't carry just the stones. He had a bag with him, and I looked up the shepherd's bag, and it meant vessel. And it was a vessel used for hunting and war, but also of music. So David, carrying his pouch, he said that I am going into a battle, but packed with me, I have the comfort of God, knowing that he's completely with me. I have victories of his faithfulness rolling with me in the past. And carry in my bag, there is worship that I am giving Jesus as I'm walking to my fight. I realize it's my fight, but the weapons of my warfare, 2 Corinthians again, chapter 10, are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. So since I'm going to face this giant, face this obstacle, face my dream, whatever it may be, sickness as it is the target today, I'm carrying with me the chief cornerstone, the one that the builders have rejected. I'm carrying with me victories of the past, but I'm going to put this thing in an environment and an atmosphere of worship. So I'm going to give him an atmosphere to do his thing before I ever show up. So I'm going to put a little rhythm to the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to make it rhythm. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Yea, though I walk through the valley of what people might think is the shadow of death, I ain't fearing nothing because you are with me. Your rod, oh, let me take that too. And your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What? I got an army on this side and a giant in front of me. What are we serving today, Lord Jesus? Look at me. So I'm rolling with my worship in my bag because I am pulling back things that he had done for me in my past. So what can you do? It's your breath in my lungs. All I have to do is say, Jesus, this morning, I'm breathing. Let me put that in my bag. So I'll pour out. Yep. Let me give you my praise this morning because in my bag is the life that you gave me. I don't need to pull on nothing else because that alone is one stone. I'm preaching this morning. In your bag has to be one thing. It don't have to be deep. One thing. Thank you for my feet that they are working. That alone will allow me to walk and face the giant. The giant don't want none of this. I woke up this morning. You woke me up on purpose so that I can go after the giant that I'm facing. The giant is subject to me and my God. So you know what? I'm going to grab my comfort. Five stones? Okay. He brought the people of Israel out. He said that David will be king. In the middle of his brothers, I did defeat the lion and the bear. A tiger, oh my, you might throw that in there. Your rod and your staff do comfort me. Huh. Just a few days ago, I was leading worship in the king's house because his spirit was a little bad. Read verse 17, chapter 17 at the beginning. I think I got what I need.
Lord, I just thank you that the lion and the bear, when they were facing me, they thought they were going to attack me, and you gave me that strength. God, I just worship you right now. This giant's in front of me. He think that he's fighting me. But when I go out there, he's really fighting you. So I just thank you this morning. God, I thank you that the victory that I have in attacking this sickness, God, you're going to receive the glory, and I'm going to eliminate it right in front of everybody, because they're going to know that there is a God living in the United States of America. I didn't say it in text. He said Israel. But we're preaching today. No need to stay back in Bible days. Y'all all right? So David's rolling with his thing. He got in his bag. But here's what's really cool. I love this. Oh, my head. Like, maybe I'll continue this part next week. Because we run out of time. And I know y'all hungry. Look, in Ephesians chapter 6. No, look. Look, watch. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says, now, listen. When the enemy attacks, I've given you some weapons. It's called the armor of God. Now, I don't have time to go through it, but we will. Trust me. But look, he says, this is what I want you to take with you. He says, I want you to take with you truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the word of God, and prayer. He says, I've given you everything. You can drop it. You want 5, you want 10 in your bag, drop them. He says, but don't leave without salvation, God's deliverance. Don't leave without peace. Don't leave without faith. Don't leave without the word of God and prayer. So in your bag, Ephesians chapter 6, if you're taking notes, write that down. Y'all sure y'all all right? Oh, then the last weapon that David had. And I'm wrapping up. Worship team, y'all can at least come on the stage, make it look like we're going to end. All right, but number 4, sling. The sling. He had a sling, and what the sling meant was, it meant to hurl forth. That's the definition, hurl forth. And so what David had was, he had his rod, he had 5 smooth stones, he had his bag, and he walked out with the purpose that he was going to hurl something at his giant, at his dream, at his obstacle, sickness. So the thing that was in his bag, the praise that he had, the past victories in his pocket, in his bag, he had purpose for what he wanted to do. It was not going to stay silent. He was going to put it in the action. So he grabs hold of the victory of the past, and he makes it a declaration. He grabs hold of the victory of the past, and he makes it a declaration. That's the reason why he looks at Saul, and he begins to declare. Boom. That's the reason why when the 9-foot giant is in front of him, he goes, you are not coming against me. You're coming against the Lord thy God. So what he decided to do, he decided that he would go on the offensive and give the enemy his own godly insults. He decided that he would insult his enemy. He decided that he would dictate and declare every single thing that would happen to his obstacle. He did not give the obstacle permission to speak. Every time it began to speak, he spoke louder. Today, you're defying the armies of the living God. Today, you're showing up thinking you're coming against me. But today, the Lord your God is going to deliver you in, the Lord my God is going to deliver you into my hand. Then he says, and then what's going to happen is, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to snatch your head. When I leave, the birds are going to take care of you. So he declares everything that could insult his obstacle. You have to have a declaration for your obstacle and your dream. On the other side of sickness is either a problem or a promise, is what Jesus would call health, healing, walking out who you really are. You can play. You're good. It's your breath. Right in front of you. There's either a problem or a promise. It's all in how you look at it. But we're going to attack sickness this morning.
David just reached in his bag, started running, and he released the chief cornerstone, the rock. And the Bible says that the stone hit the giant, boom, pow, he fell. And the Bible says that the stone killed him. But I found that David actually said that he wanted one additional weapon that he didn't take with him. David knew that he needed the power of his sword. So it says that David ran over and grabbed the sword from Goliath and eliminated that which was already dead. Why would David grab the sword? It's because the Bible says that heaven and earth will remain, but my word will last forever. So when the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, like I just told you, the word of God is involved, it eliminates things. It doesn't tolerate things. So David is like, I'm leaving nothing in doubt. I'm not going to jab him with the javelin. I'm going to remove it completely. The mindset of the enemy to attack me is gone. Sickness, I'm cutting you off at the root. When we attack and when we play offense, we go for the kill. And so the word of the Lord this morning is that God wants you healed. He's willing, he's able, and in Psalms 107:20, it says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all destruction.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.